Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
My son and I were a few, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, we were sitting in the vehicle outside a super spa on the west coast, and Nordine had gone in to purchase a few items, and I think my daughter had also gone in, and we were sitting there just waiting for her, and the next moment this man walked past, and he had a leather jacket and earrings and an earring in the nose and tattoos and a massive beard, and he looked pretty scary. And immediately, you know, we just said, yo, check that guy out. He looks quite vicious, you know, and he looks quite daunting, you know. I wouldn't want to meet him, you know, at night when the lights are off and just see him for the first time. You know, I'll run away or I'll really, yeah. So we sat there in the vehicle and we saw this guy and we just commented on how ferocious he looks. And then he walked into the shop, and the next moment he turned around and he approached us. We thought, oh my goodness, what's going on now? And he was coming to us and he said, excuse me, sir, your lights are on. And I was dumbfounded. And Daniel and I were sitting there speechless, our mouths agape. I mean, you didn't associate that voice with that politeness, with that gentlemanliness, with this guy's exterior physique and the way he dressed and the way he looked. And the older I become, the more I realize how wrong I have been in my judgments of others. You folks that are 35 and older, have you started picking that up the older you get? By show of hands, you just realize, my goodness, I really have to work on my judging a person on his exterior and really judging a book by its cover. And the older I get, the more I realize, watch out, be careful. And when I think back on my life, I think of times I have really cruelly judged leaders and cruelly judged other people. And I realize that I judge people on their actions, but I judge myself on my motives and my intentions. So I'm much softer on myself than what I am on others. And have some of you experienced that? You see a person's actions, you really sum him up and you judge him without necessarily saying something, but in your thoughts, in your hearts, you've already categorized the person in a certain category. You've boxed him, you've labeled him or her. And I just realized, my goodness, I have to be more cautious in pointing a finger. I have to be more cautious. I should not point a finger at all. You know, I've just realized, but hey, there's much more in that person. There's a lot that I don't know of. There's a lot hidden that I know nothing of. And I'm presuming things about this person or that person. And I realized, but how can I judge myself on my motives, my intentions, but them, I'm judging on what they're doing, and I'm making assumptions. I'm deciding this is what they felt, this is their heart, this is their feeling, this is the reason for them behaving and doing what they're doing. And I realize that the leniency that I afford myself, I have to afford others. We're very soft on ourselves. Who's not soft on himself generally? Okay, don't be too hard on yourself either. But most of us are soft on ourselves. And God's challenges us, says, would you afford that same amount of grace on someone else? The longer I walk with the Lord and the older I get, I start becoming more and more transparent about my own weaknesses. And I realize how much grace God has given me as His child. And the more I start trying to give that grace back to others, to have grace for their weaknesses. And the more I realize, but there's a commonality between me and others, much more than what there's a difference. We sit with the same shared weaknesses when I look at other folks. We sit with brokenness that are similar. And that's how I got to love folks of other religion, especially religions that are very cruel. We know what we're talking about. They chop people's heads off. And the Lord has shown me often, but a lot of their behavior is not justified. But I don't know how that person grew up. I don't know how that person's been brainwashed. I don't know what that person's been exposed to. So then I start noticing, but there's a commonality in our brokenness. There's a commonality in our shared joys, our shared fears, our shared insecurities, our shared hopes, our aspirations. Everyone's got aspirations. Everyone trusts or distrusts or mistrusts. So there's so much more in common that we have than we have in different. And I start growing in this. And as I understand and I grow in grace towards others, mercy towards others, I become a more sure-footed building block in God's building. The kingdom of God is built on one thing, and that's the only thing. Not the only, but the most important thing. It's the very foundation of our faith. For God so loved the world. God is love. And we need to ooze love for others. We need to ooze acceptance. We never accept the sin. No. But we have to really accept the person. We really have to embrace the title of this message. We really have to embrace and love the person. So as we grow in this grace for others, as we grow in this understanding, appreciation, and saying, Lord, I don't see everything. I don't see everything. I don't understand everything. I don't perceive everything. But I will pray. I will trust, and I will accept that person despite their crazy behavior. Where God goes as far as saying to us, love your enemies. I know we hear that. And we say it easily. How many of us have had to live loving our enemies? And an enemy that despises you, that hates you, that wants to kill you. God even says, love them. Because I love those that killed me. And you are the extension of me. You are the ambassadors. You go ahead. You represent me. The Lord is challenging us this morning to work on discerning others in the spirit and less in the flesh. And not only discerning others, but discerning ourselves in the spirit. Those of us that are too hard on ourselves, those of that easily condemn ourselves, those of us that will easily find fault with ourselves, discern God's plan. Say, Lord, show me what you dream for me. Show me what you think of me. And let me think of others as you would want me to think of them. And as you would want me to love them, Lord. Not to judge others on the exterior. To realize that their hurtful behavior comes from a hurted person. People that hurt have been hurt. People that molest generally have been molested. People that rape have generally been raped in one way or the other. And then I judge the raper, judge the molester. God says, no, 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 no. Put yourself in his shoes. Watch out. Be cautious. Be careful. Where the Lord is challenging us this morning to look past offensive behavior and smother the perpetrator with love and acceptance. To keep on turning the other cheek. It's easy to turn the other cheek when it's been slapped 10 times. Word says forgive 7 times 70. So can we say 490 times? Would we make it a day or an hour? Be willing to be slapped through the face. Turn the other cheek. Because love will conquer all. And slowly but surely, the love of Christ is conquering the hearts of man. And God's got a lot of time. Kingdom of God grows slowly, like a mustard seed, like compared to yeast. And slowly but surely, it takes over the whole batch of dough. Slowly but surely, the kingdom of God is advancing. And we are His disciples. We are His instruments for that advancement. And love will conquer. Love will conquer. And it has conquered most of our hearts this morning, if not all. And it's conquering others. But love takes patience. Love takes long suffering. Love takes turning the other cheek. Love takes a very important piece of the building, a very cardinal brick of the building that God is building, is to judge and discern others through His eyes and not the eyes of flesh. To keep loving those that behave like enemies. To look at the heart. To say, Lord, show me the heart of that person. Let me pray for them instead of judge them. Let me ask, what is your dream for their lives? Let me understand. Let me ask you for understanding and discernment for so-and-so. Your mother-in-law that you love so much. Let me, and that family member that just searches for every opportunity to turn you up the wrong way. Because we're going into that season. Those of you that are remaining here, you're going to see family members. That's the mission field, folks. That's your mission field. Maybe you see them once a year. Make it count. And ask God to see them through His eyes, with His heart of love. A friend and I, and he's sitting here actually, he came to help us with some plumbing at our home. And we were standing, we were talking about how in many ways, him and I, not only me, him and I, are hypocritical. And we're speaking of a specific group of people that have a certain sexual orientation. And of when we disciple them and we walk around, we're very kind and gentle. But when we see them in the streets and they're behaving in a strange manner that's off-putting, we immediately judge them in our hearts. And how hypocritical I actually am by doing that. You know, when I walk around with them, then I have grace and compassion and we understand. But when we see folks walking in a certain or behaving in a certain manner, immediately I tend to mock. Or joke. I'm the pastor, but I'm also human. I make mistakes. And then he was agreeing that he sits with the same thing, you know. And we were challenging each other and saying, but that let's take it the whole stretch. Let's, when we see that behavior, instead of thinking, oh, again, how ridiculous. Say, Lord, touch and heal. Save, deliver. Let your love become those people's greatest reality. And then to realize, Lord, but actually their behavior is an endemic cry, a massive, desperate cry for massive acceptance and love. Yes, what they're doing is sinful. What they're behaving in the way they're behaving is very sinful and it's wrong. But it's a fruit of desperate cry for love and acceptance. Their sexual orientation, most more than often, is thrust upon them. More than often, it's rejection, the fruit of rejection. More than often, it's formative years that didn't go well. More than often, it's a bloodline curse. And then I allow myself to become irritated and to judge them on the exterior. And the Lord is challenging us, not only me, all of us this morning on this. See others through my eyes of love. And the Lord spoke, while we were chatting, we're saying, but you know what? If we now are introduced to certain folk that we're not pleased with and their behavior puts us off, we will politely say, hello, how are you? We'll be civil. But to take it the next notch, to really thrust love upon them, to say, how are you doing? To be genuinely interested in our body language, our tone of voice, and the words we use. To really show interest and care and concern for this person. that I usually would just be polite with and walk past and brush aside. Saying, no. The measure of love and care you give to others that are your family, your friends, people that you love and appreciate, give that to these people. Be they the street sweepers, be they the folks that stay, that are not, that don't smell well, whatever, whoever puts you off, to embrace and love them as Christ would embrace and love you, as Christ would embrace and love them, to see them through His eyes. God showers you and us, you and me, with His love, acceptance, forgiveness, patience, appreciation. God gives you and me a lot of appreciation, and He asks us to do likewise. As He appreciates you, as He loves you, as He accepts you, as He forgives you and forgives me, He says, now do the same to others. Let's grow in our hearts with magnanimous love. In so doing, we build sure blocks in his body. Let's go look at a scripture. I don't know, is the PowerPoint working? Okay. Let's go look at Luke 6, verse 42, where Jesus speaks of the speck and the log and the plank. And where He challenges the folks and He says, do not focus on the speck in the other person's eyes. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see. Very well-known scripture. Let's go look at John chapter 8, verses 4. And it's the piece about the prostitute that they were about to stone. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, verse 1. Now early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in their midst, they said to Him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Then Christ makes an astounding statement. This they said, testing Him, and that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear Him or hear them. So yeah, He stoops down, He writes in the soil with His finger, and they challenging Him and say, what do we do? She is a prostitute. We need to stone her. And the lesson we learn from His behavior here is that Christ is bigger than all accusations. He wasn't fazzled. He wasn't frizzled. He wasn't shaken up by the fact that they wanted to test Him, by the fact that they wanted to kill this woman. He just stayed calm, and He shows us, no matter what is happening around you, I am bigger than all the accusations aimed at you. So we need to realize and remind ourselves, this is one of the important steps to embrace others, is to realize and remind ourselves that Christ is bigger than all accusations and all our accusers, and even bigger than everything that you accuse others of. His forgiveness has no bounds when we come in humility and repentance. So we see that clearly in that verse where he's not frazzled. He's just sitting there and He's writing in the ground. Verse 7, it says, so when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. This says to us, Christ is wise. We need to rely and realize that He's bigger than all accusations, bigger than all our prejudice and prejudice towards us, but He's wise enough to handle all prejudice. He's wise enough to deal with all accusations, all misgivings. He will deal with our accusers. And through this, His wisdom is so massive. He says, do not take the law into your own hands. Do not take the law into your own hands. That's why he says, he raised himself and said to them, who is without sin among you? Have you got the right to judge? I will judge. I will look at the whole picture when I judge someone. I won't just look at the exterior. I look at their background. I look at their hurts. I look at their frailties. I look at the stuff they've been exposed to. I look at the stuff they've been accused of. I look at their pain. I look at the whole person. Then I can make a righteous judgment. But we judge from here, or I judge, and I judge myself incorrectly as well. I judge myself incorrectly because I don't know the whole picture of myself. God sees the inside and the outside. He sees beyond what we can think, dream, or imagine. And that's why we can always trust that his judgment is right. It's just. But we can't trust our own judgment. So he looks with wisdom. He looks in depth. He looks with understanding. He looks at every situation's unique merits. So we can trust that Christ is bigger in all circumstances and Christ is wise when it comes to accusations, to judgments. And this will lead us to a road to embrace ourselves and embrace others easier, more welcoming. Verse 8, it says the following. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So once again, he's stooping down. He started off writing on the ground. He answered them, and then he stoops down and he writes again in the ground. That says to us, Christ is patient. Steps for you to embrace others, to start having grace for others and for yourself, is to realize that God's patience far outweighs your patience. Where I have given up on people, they're still thriving. It blows my mind. There are three certain people that we know that have really hurt people around them, really have got a lot of collateral damage where they've gone in their lives, with their families, their wives, their children. I mean, I'm talking about death threats. I'm talking about alcohol prostitution. I'm talking about the worst drugs. The victims they've caused, they've victimized their family. The stuff they've done has been going on for years. And they've had close shaves with death. And then they come back to Christ. And then they fall back again, worse than they were. And I would have said, Lord, remove them. Kill them. Klar. Have you felt like that about some people? Am I the only one? Lord, enough is enough. This person's messed up enough. Who's felt like that? Yeah. And does God remove them? No. God is patient. Christ, and he goes and he writes again in the sand. He's patient. He waits for the truth that he's exploded in their hearts. I mean, he's just confronted them with something they cannot argue about. Have you got sin? If you do, throw the first stone. What do we do with an answer like that? Bah! They are aghast. Like Daniel and I were sitting in the car, and this guy with a sweet voice, but his exterior totally contradicts his sweet, gentlemanly voice. We were like agape. They were agape. They were thinking, okay. And he gives them time to digest. Christ is patient. He's patient enough to let us learn from our own mistakes. He allows us to learn from our own mistakes. He's patient enough to let us see the light, to grow and to mature. He has enough patience for that. Verse 9 says the following. Then those who heard it, now he's written in the soil again, he's given them time. Those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Interesting, the older folks walked out first. Isn't that interesting? We've had more time to ponder our mistakes, to realize, to grow, to learn. Oh my goodness. things that I've accused others or pointed fingers towards others about, I'm just as guilty. Can we have an amen and an ina? An ina? I'm just as guilty. Lord, help me. So the older folks walked off first because they know they have a big bag of chamors. Those that understand chamors, ask the person next to you. A big bag of nonsense, of mistakes that they have to stand for and that which they are responsible for. So Christ is an amazing God, and he's so patient. He's amazingly, amazingly patient. And he says, I've got enough time. I've got enough time. And this verse, where everybody's walked away and their conscience has convicted them, says that Christ levels the playing field. The way to embrace others is to realize that God levels the playing field. We all fall short of the grace of God. One sin disqualifies you as much as a million sin does. The parable of the rich ruler that employs people, and he gives the folks that work 8 o'clock, start working early in the morning, a whole day that they've worked, he gives them the same wage as those that start working 4 o'clock. He levels the playing fields. Grace equals everything. And God says, as I freely give you, as you freely receive, you must freely give. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. And I'm not better than the next person. He still needs to discover the love, the grace, because that love and grace will change him or her. And sometimes the only exposure to that love and grace is through who? You and me. Sometimes those folks live in such secular, subcultures that are so devoid, so separated from the love and exposure of Jesus Christ. They're so cut off from Christianity and the flavor, the sense, the beautiful incense of our God and our kingdom. And the only exposure they have to the love of Christ is through you and me. And how many times have I duffed it up? Who's guilty with me? Please, I don't want to be the only guy. How many times have I said the wrong thing at the wrong time or behaved the wrong way? But he's patient with me too. He has grace for me too. He specializes in fixing up my messes up. He fixes up everything that I mess up. As long as I'm saying, Lord, I'm willing, change me, use me. And thank you, God, that for me to embrace others, to embrace myself, I can see that you level the playing field. You equal everything. Verse 11 says the following. Now he asks, sir, no one's condemned you. The old folks have left first. They've all thrown down their stones. And he said, and she said. Let me first read verse 10. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are you, those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And this statement, this question, and this statement shouts out Christ's compassion. That's the next thing. The way for us to embrace others and to embrace ourselves, not to judge others, is to realize and to remind ourselves and to allow the Holy Spirit to grow the fact that Christ is compassionate. Christ is not only compassionate towards you, but is compassionate to so many people around you. And this verse 11 shouts another truth to us. It says, Christ will challenge you. Christ's challenge to turn away from sin. To turn away. So the person that no one judged, that Christ didn't judge, he didn't leave her to wallow in a sin. He says there's a greater victory for you ahead. There's a greater truth for you to discover. There's my love, which you're experiencing right now by the fact that I've just saved your life. I'm showing you how much I love you. Let that truth dawn upon you. Let it sink in your heart. And you go forth and show that love and acceptance to others as you've received it from me. So the Lord challenges us. Go forth and judge no longer. Go forth and judge yourself no longer. And go forth and judge others no longer. Go forth and as much compassion as you have for yourself, have for others. Have for other leaders. Have for other family members. Have for your friends. Watch out that you don't keep noticing the speck in the other's eye while there's a big plank in your own and you miss it. He wants us to turn from our mistakes and he wants to give others an opportunity to turn from their mistakes. And he asks us to have that same attitude for them to grow in their faith, for us to grow in our faith, for them to grow in their intimacy and for us to grow in our intimacy with Christ. To recap, what steps do we learn in this story that will help us to embrace others? What do we have to realize and remind ourselves of? To accept and love others and to accept and love ourselves as Christ loves us. We need to realize Christ is bigger. Christ is wise enough. Christ is patient enough. Christ levels the playing fields. Christ is compassion. And Christ will challenge. Because he wants a better life, a better breakthrough for us. He's got a better hope for us than what we have for ourselves. I'd like you all to close your eyes, please. Those of you folks that feel this morning, Lord, I need to grow in my embracing of others. I need to grow in my embracing of myself, but in others or myself, I want to accept like you accept, God. I want to be like you that saves someone else from death. Death of sin, death that comes by sin, death, whatever. You feel I need to grow in this area. Stand up right now. Acknowledge it to the Lord. I need your help to embrace and to love like you embrace and you love. Come, there's some more folks that have to stand up. Yes, thank you, Lord. Praise your name. I'd like you all to keep your eyes closed and just stretch out your hands. Let your hands face the roof. Palms face the roof. And pray after me the following prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, help me to love myself the way you love me. To see myself with your eyes of compassion, mercy and grace. But Lord, more so, let me see others with your eyes of compassion, of grace, of patience, of understanding, of acceptance. Holy Spirit, change me. I'm willing. I'm hungry. I need you, God. Help me. Save me from myself, because I can do so many things that are wrong, but I don't want to anymore. I want to choose life, not death. Let me be life in this festive season ahead to everyone around me, no matter how much they test me or challenge me. Let me see them through your eyes of love and compassion. I receive your help, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Amen.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.